Good morning. Well, it's morning here, I suppose. But hello, wherever you are. Today I wanted to talk a little bit about the pattern of the two witnesses. Now, the two witnesses are the ones that come to Israel in the book of Revelation. And so I'll have you open up to Revelation chapter 11 and starting with verse 3. Revelation chapter 11, starting with verse 3. It says, "And I will give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,260 days, clothed in sackcloth. These are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. And if a man will hurt them, fire proceedeth out of their mouth and devoureth their enemies. And if any man will hurt them, he must in this manner be killed. These have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy, and have power over waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plague as often as they will." So we know from the description and having been taught that these two witnesses are actually coming as Moses and Elijah, not actual Moses and Elijah, but symbolically Moses and Elijah. We know from the description, we know that it was Elijah who had power to shut the heaven when he proclaimed a drought for 7 years, and Moses was the one that turned the water to blood and did all the plagues that afflicted Egypt. So in studying this, I was curious and thought, why those two? Why would God choose Moses and Elijah? It seems to me that if God wanted to send two witnesses, he could have picked any one of the heroes of the faith, right? He could have sent anyone from any of the patterns that he had. He could have sent David, because David was a man after his own heart. He could have sent Samuel. Why not David and Samuel as the two witnesses? Samuel was a powerful prophet for God. Maybe it has to be two prophets. Okay, if it's two prophets, why not Samuel and Daniel? Those two seem like very likely candidates with strong faith in God that survived many things and served God well. Why not those two? Why not send somebody in those two patterns? Well, to understand why, we need to talk a little bit about Brother Branham's explanation of the five Elijahs. So we're going to take just a couple of minutes to delve into those five Elijahs, where do they come from, and what does it mean? So we're going to try to understand Elijah himself a little bit better. We're going to turn to 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. First Kings, chapter 18, starting with verse 21. And as you'll see, this is the story where Elijah meets the people and the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Okay? Start with verse 20. "So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under, and I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken." Now, you know how the rest of the story goes. But I wanted to point out this particular part of the story because what we find here, in addition to the challenge, is also the fact that Elijah is fighting for the hearts of the people. Here they sit on the fence, unsure as to which side to choose. And Elijah makes them a deal. He says, if they have a supernatural vindication, then follow them. If I have supernatural vindication, then you follow me. If you listen to their, if their God is true, then you follow their God. If my God is true, then follow my God. Why were the people of Israel on the fence? That's a deeper topic for another day, but it's interesting to think about the fact that here they had lived with idolatry. They hadn't kicked all of the idolatry out of Israel, and so it had lived with them since the day that they entered the borders. But they came to a point, despite all of the history with David and Solomon and Samuel and all the wonderful things that God did, and even with Moses bringing them out, that here they were sitting on the fence trying to decide which one to follow. So in this story, it is Elijah who is appealing to the heart of the people, trying to bring them back to the Shema faith that was given to them in the wilderness. That deep, heartfelt faith, he was calling them back to believe in the one true God. So in this instance, he was doing the work of an evangelist. Now, we move on to Elisha. I want to show you in Elisha, 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. So here is the deal, that Elisha would become a prophet like unto Elijah with a double portion. You can continue to read the story to see more. But Elisha wanted that special relationship that Elijah had with God. Elisha wanted to do the work for God that Elijah was doing. And so in that way, Elisha became an Elijah. To do the work of an Elijah. Read his story and find out if Elisha was not continuing the work of turning the hearts of the people back to God. Back to true faith. So that's two of the five Elijahs. The third one is John the Baptist. Turn to Luke chapter 1, verse 17. Luke chapter 1, verse 17. And this is the prophecy about Luke given by the angel to Zechariah. Okay? Let's start with 15. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord their God, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So what then was John the Baptist's role? Jesus said in another place that John the Baptist did no miracles. No miracles at all. And if he did no miracles, how is it possible that he could be an Elijah? For we know that the first Elijah had many miracles, one of which was calling fire from heaven, another of which was parting the water to walk through the river. Elisha parted the water to walk through the river, and many other things happened. His ministry was also connected to many miracles. So how is it that John the Baptist, who did no miracles, could be considered an Elijah? I want you to consider the fact that the ministry of Elijah was not about the miracles. While those miracles were associated with his ministry, the miracles were not the purpose of his ministry. No, if you read that again in Luke chapter 1, verse 17, his ministry, and in verse 16, his ministry was to turn the hearts of the people. go back to the altar on Mount Carmel, and you find that that's exactly what Elijah was trying to do, was turn the hearts of the people. That was what his ministry was. We believe that Brother Branham was also supposed to be in the spirit and power of Elijah. But what then was his role? We often quote Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, to talk about the other direction. If John was to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, then Brother Branham was supposed to turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. Whatever that fourth Elijah was, it was to turn the hearts. To turn the hearts. Brother Branham came in the spirit and power of Elijah to do what John the Baptist did, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. We know that the two witnesses, during that time, some of that same preparation will be going on. That Jesus is preparing to return, to come back through the gate, and they'll say to him, "Where did you get those scars?" And he says, "In the house of my friends." But there has to be a people who are prepared for the Lord. So, to prepare the people for the Lord, God had to send Elijah number 5, and he's one of those two witnesses. Tomorrow, we'll talk about Moses. Thank you for listening, and have an absolutely great day.